Welcome to the Media Line. I'm Charles Bublazer, Managing Editor, and joining me is Dr. Nir Bums, a research fellow at the Moshe Dayan Center at Tel Aviv University and at the International Center for Counterterrorism in Herzliya. Previously, he was a vice president at the Washington-based Foundation for Defense of Democracies. And the topic, an intensifying campaign in northwest Syria risks causing further chaos in the country, with U.S. President Donald Trump having weighed in by calling on Damascus and Moscow to stop, quote, bombing the hell out of Idlib province. Dr. Bums, can you explain to our listeners the ostensible reason the Assad regime has embarked on this offensive?
The Assad regime aimed to win the Syrian war, and winning the Syrian war means to regain control over all the provinces. The northwestern province of Idlib has been described for quite some time as the last rebel stronghold, and really for a good reason. A big part of what we call the reconciliation agreement meant that the rebels who surrendered in different areas of Syria were all sent to the north, to the Idlib area, where they were promised a certain degree of protection, and then at some point by the Americans, at some point by the Turks, and some hope that that's going to be the case. But for the Assad regime, the idea of having rebels inside Syria or having autonomous province controlled by rebels has never been a part of their set of priorities. And it seems that they decided that this may be the right timing to intensify these attacks with support from the Russians. Just to remind your listeners that this has been the case in a number of other provinces, including in the south. We have been waiting for the campaign for the southern part of Syria for almost 2 years before it actually materialized.
And it seems as though the U.S. has dwindling influence in Syria, especially given President Trump's stated desire to withdraw troops from the country. Do you believe that there is anything Washington can do to curb the violence?
To gain influence in a place like Syria, you can do it, of course, in some diplomatic means, but when you speak about a war zone that is managed by proxies and militias, you need some boots on the ground. This is what the Iranians have done. This is what the Russians have done to a lesser degree, but certainly with a more significant presence on the ground. This is what the Americans have not done broadly throughout the war. They do not have much influence, and it also seems that they're not willing to actually stop an attack either by the Russians or by the Syrians, and therefore just remains to be a diplomatic shout-out match rather than an actual assertive action that aims to stop an attack. So yes, that probably is the extent of the American influence at this point in time.
And there could be some significant ramifications due to the offensive in Idlib. Turkey has voiced concern over the possibility of another mass exodus of civilians across its border, and as a result seems to be threatening to launch its own campaign against U.S.-backed Kurdish fighters that did most of the heavy lifting in the fight against the Islamic State.
The Turks have been relatively quiet when it comes to this issue, which perhaps indicates a certain degree of coordination and understanding of the extent of this particular campaign. They also shut their border, and they've also intensified their own campaigns vis-a-vis the PKK and their affiliate in Syria. This is a long-term objective of the Turks, and in many ways for them, everything is going to be translated through this prism of their struggle with what they call the separate Kurdish movement.
Where exactly, then, does this leave the Kurds, especially as regards their fight for autonomy?
The SDF is still very active in the area of Deir ez-Zor and the area of Raqqa, where it holds a certain degree of effective control. It also seems that there is some understanding that a certain degree of autonomy could be given to the Kurds as long as it doesn't hurt the overall sovereignty of Syria, and that's part of the broader agreements that are in the play.
What are the odds, in your view, that some kind of political settlement could be forged in the next little while to end the conflict fully?
Well, there are a large number of players still there, and remember that the conflict began with a significant Syrian call for change. The opposition was defeated, but it doesn't mean that this call for change is still not there. There are lots of people who are still very angry and upset over the state of Syria and over the leadership of President Assad. Some of these forces are still there and will try to act again, although they have a much decreased capability. The other stakeholders still continue to fight, the Turks, the Russians, the Iranians, and their related proxies. So we're far from seeing really the end of it, although this conflict has de facto ended. Assad regained control, but this, remember, this control was gained for him, and it really is at the mercy of its own proxies or its own guarantors. And since now the war is moving into a different phase, in where the Iranians are trying to form additional presence in Syria, the Israelis are trying to prevent this, The Americans are also trying to prevent this without significant involvement as of yet, but they could be further involved if there's going to be additional developments there. The Russians do not want to see the Iranians having their own actions in order to limit the Iranian influence. And then there were all the struggles over the control over the economic benefits that Syria may be able to offer in a post-conflict era. So all of that is still taking place. We may not see an end. We may see a status quo that's going to last for a while, but we probably have not seen the last battle in Syria, unfortunately.
Dr. Nir Bones, a research fellow at the Moshe Dayan Center at Tel Aviv University and at the International Center for Counterterrorism in Herzliya, thank you very much for your insights and for joining the Media Line.
Thank you.
I'm Charles Biblezer.